So you will go to Luke chapter number 2 to begin with this morning, Luke chapter number 2, and I want you to follow along in your Bible. I've got a lot of material I want to cover this morning, so I'm going to have to go quickly. Am I on here, Jeff? We'll get that out of the way. As long as that works, it'll help me see a little bit better up here. Luke chapter number 2. You know, it's sad that to many people, the only time they read the message of the incarnation, or when God became man, is at Christmas time. Now, there's some great truths surrounding the birth of Christ that I think a lot of folks miss completely. And just like the first couple of chapters in Genesis, you can find every message in the Bible in those first few chapters of Genesis. You can find every message in the Bible in the first few chapters of the Gospels. And there's so much truth here. And I'm going to read part of what we refer to as the Christmas story. And look at something that God kind of stirred in my heart a few weeks ago. And I thought, I want to preach on this sometime. So we're going to look at it today. Luke chapter number 2. And we're going to read verse number 8 through verse number 15. If you are able to stand with me, if you'd stand in respect to the Word of God as we read Luke chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. I like that. That glory, there's another whole message right there. The glory not shone upon them, but about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. There's three names there. The Savior, Christ the Lord. There's a three-point outline right there. But we're going to go on. Verse number 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Father, we pray that you would bless the word of God now as we study a great truth from your word, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and open our eyes to what you have for us today. And Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray that you would convict them of their need of salvation and to bring them to yourself. And those of us who do know you as our Savior, Lord, that we would be drawn closer to you as a result of being in your house and in your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have a seat, if you will. And did you notice in our text, I know we point this out sometimes at this time of year, did you notice anywhere in our text that the angels were singing? Verse number 10 and verse number 13 says that they were saying, but they weren't singing. Now, I'm going to mention some things. The angels are very vocal. And I gave you this challenge a few days ago. If you can find anywhere in Scripture where the angels are singing. Now, I see them often praising God, saying, shouting, crying out, proclaiming, rejoicing, sounding of trumpets. But I don't see them singing. I did find one place where they're singing. They once did sing. Job chapter number 38 and the last few chapters of the book of Job are some of my favorite chapters of the Bible, where it talks about the creation and there's a foundation for studying biology and the science of life. In Job chapter number 38, he's talking about the created time. When God asking Job, were you there when I created? And he mentions at that time that was the time when the morning stars or the angels sang together. And that phrase, morning stars, speaking of angels. At creation, the angels sang together. What happened after creation that changed all that? Now, God loves to hear singing. We will live forever in heaven if we're saved. And in heaven, there's going to be a whole lot of music and a whole lot of singing. Now, I'm not a musician, but I love music. I try to piddle around with it, sometimes mess it up, but I love to listen to and sing music, but I'm not by any means a musician. And we today live, as Ephesians says four different times, we live in heavenly places. We're looking forward to being in heaven. We get a little taste of heaven today in the person of the Holy Spirit living in us. God's people, and I've learned this since I've been saved, God's people are a singing people. If we don't like to sing, there's something wrong with us. The first time, it took me a while before I sang in front of anybody after I was saved, because I was such a bashful person. And the first time I did, my family said, "Wow, I didn't know you could sing." And I'm still not. The verdict's still out, actually. I said, it's just that I had nothing to sing about before. Now I've got something to sing about. Our worship and our praise, whether it's personal or private, or public worship and praise, often includes singing. Now, singing is not synonymous, as it's used many times, of praise and worship, but it does sometimes include singing. I love being in this church. In fact, oftentimes folks visit our church, they say, "Wow, people sing here." That's because we don't have a so-called worship team up here. Instead, we sing together. I was thinking of Brother Hicks a couple of weeks ago. He got up here and sang with the Hicks. Remember when that cowboy choir was a cowboy quartet? Huh? I think I gave them that name years ago, the cowboy quartet. Now they're a whole cowboy choir. And I'm so glad that he was able. I think I was giving thanks Sunday that he was able to come up here. But I want to talk to you today about heaven's singing, or singing in heaven. The first thing I want you to see today is the creation of music. Where did music come from? Well, first of all, God's original creation was filled with music. Now, if you study some of the sciences that I like to read about and study, I don't say I'm an expert. There's no such thing as an expert. But you understand that there are sounds that our ears cannot hear. Now, some of us, that list of sounds we can't hear is getting larger and larger by the year. As we're losing things that we used to be able to hear. And the same vein, there's many lights that we can't see with our eyes. There are many sounds that we can't hear. And there's still a whole lot of singing, a lot of sounds in our created world today, even though it's a fallen world. It's different than it was in the original creation. Now, I think in the original creation, there were things that Adam and Eve can see that you and I can't see. There are things that they could hear that you and I can't hear before the fall of man. God talks about this, and let me just read a couple of verses. In Psalm 104 and verse number 12 says, "The fowls of the heaven, which sing among the branches." Now, we hear the birds sing, some of them more pleasant than others. And Song of Solomon, chapter number 2, says, "The time of singing the birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land." That's Jacob's verse right there. The voice of the turtle. And some people say that's talking about the turtle dove. No, it's talking about the birds already, and now it's talking about the voice. I wonder what a turtle sounds like. You can sit up here sometime during the song service and hear Jacob sing. Your grandpa taught me, you love somebody when you can make fun of them. Huh? All right? And there is something to that some folks need to learn. Psalm 49, or Isaiah 49 says, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, the earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains." You know the mountains sing? And Isaiah 55 says, "The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." I believe in God's original creation, you could sit and listen to the mountains sing a melody to you. One day we're coming back to that, by the way. The triumphal entry of Jesus in Luke chapter number 19. I remember when the young people were taking branches off of palm leaves and laying them before him and putting their jackets and singing Hosanna, and the religious folks rebuked them. And Jesus said, if these should hold their peace, the stones should immediately cry out. And by the way, the stones are going to cry out in singing one day, just like they did in the original creation. We won't go into all that right now, but that is a fascinating study in and of itself. But God loved singing so much. And we're talking about, where did music come from? God created music. In fact, God created a musician in heaven with one purpose, and that is for singing, for making melody. He created all angelic beings. Now, think of this. God not only created and gives life, but God is life, right? God not only loves us, but the Bible tells us that He is love. That's much bigger than just saying that He loves us. And God not only created light, God spoke the light into existence, but God is light. And in Him is no darkness, not even any variableness of darkness, no shadow of turning. Now, Lucifer, as we refer to him today as the devil, was not only a musician, he is music. Just like God not only loves, but He is love. Lucifer, or Satan, we call him today. And I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter number 28. I want you to see this. A musician told me this and showed me this, and wow, how clear can it get? Ezekiel chapter number 28. There's a couple of things I want to show you in this book. That's the Old Testament. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. My wife says, don't say that so fast, but that's the only way I can say it. I'll rattle through them real quick. Ezekiel chapter number 28. I want you to see something here. Lucifer, as we refer to him as the devil or Satan today, is not only the chief musician. Most of us understand it, but he is music. When God describes the creation of Lucifer, this angelic being, He describes him with physical features that are used to describe a musical instrument. He's not holding an instrument. He is the instrument. Ezekiel 28, beginning in verse 9, I won't read all the details in the history, and there's some great prophecies and things in these chapters, but I'm just going to focus on one thing here for the sake of time. Verse number 11 says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, take up the lamentation of the kings of Tyrus, and say to him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum and the full of wisdom in perfect beauty. Now, he's likening an earthly king to someone in heaven, which, again, we won't go into all the details in the study of that. But verse number 13, he's describing Lucifer as God created him. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. God created Adam and Eve and put them in the garden of Eden. Lucifer was there. And every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle. I don't know what some of these things are. I think I know what a diamond is, but that's about it. That's about as far as I go. And the gold, I think I know what that is. Maybe fool's gold is all I ever see. And the workmanship of thy is described. And by the way, no other thing that God created, not even God Himself, is described by all of these precious metals and jewels. Only Lucifer. Even you read the descriptions of God on the throne, not all these things are used to describe Him that are describing His created being. And He says this in verse number 13, in thy tabrets. The word we would say for tabrets is tambourine. That's a party. That would say, well, your arms. Instead of arms, you got tambourines. You got drums. That's your, and thy pipes. That's your vocal cords, your windpipe. That's what He was. He was tabrets. He was pipes. And those are the two different branches of musical instruments, the percussion instruments, or those that you strum or beat on or whatever. I'm using musical terms here, all right? Or those that you blow through, and they're an extension of your vocal cord. But God says the very being of Lucifer was a musical instrument. And thou art anointed cherub. that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou hast upon thy holy mountain God, and very similar to the Holy Spirit that encompasses and covers the throne of God. That's where the highest place in heaven of all of God's creation was this Lucifer, who is music himself. And thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire in the very presence of God. Thou hast perfect in thy ways in the day that thou wast created. God created this musical being in perfection, in completion, the most beautiful thing that God ever made. In all of His creation was Lucifer. But then we read in this same chapter the fall of heaven's musician. In fact, we read in verse number 15, halfway through the verse, we'll pick up, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled in the midst of thee with violence and hast sinned. And therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the... And by the way, there's a description of the world's music right there in verse number 16. And what music has become in our world today. Profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, a covering of cherubim, and in the midst of stones of fire, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. And thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, and they may behold thee. There's the fall, the creation of heaven's musician and the fall of heaven's musician. We jump back very quickly to Isaiah chapter number 14, and maybe this verse is more familiar to you when we talk about the fall of Lucifer, who was heaven's musician. Isaiah chapter number 14. Isaiah 14, you find it in your Bible? Isaiah 14, and beginning in verse number 12. That's the mix between 12 and 17. 12, beginning in verse number 12 of chapter 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation? And here again, here's a beautiful picture, well, not a beautiful picture, a real picture of music in our world today. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the throne in the congregation of the sides of the north. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Notice how many times I will. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell in the sides of the pit. And they shall see that narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof and opened not the house of its prisoners? This is the binding power and the pride of Satan as he fell from the throne of God. This being that God created to fill all of heaven and to fill God's presence with music, this angelic being that filled all of God's creation, was there in the Garden of Eden, is now cast out of heaven. And since that time, we don't see angels singing. Maybe those fallen angels were the ones that were the musicians alongside of Lucifer. I don't know, there's a lot of speculation there. But then, secondly, I want to look at this, music today. The devil still has a song. The most powerful tool that the God of this world, who is the devil, has in his arsenal is music. That's what he was created as, a musical instrument. And notice this music was centered, and his pride, of course, was a cause of his downfall. And again, how many times is I will. Now, the world's music today is filled with that same pride. It's filled with that lust that they call love, that sensual carnality fills what we call music in our world today. It's filled with violence, with anger, and I won't go into all of this, but you certainly, if you study music at all, you see that in the world's music. It's filled with division, It's used in the worship or the glorifying the God of this world and all base carnality and sensuality. And I will say this, that no one knows how to use music like the devil knows how to use music. He was heaven's musician, and now he is the God of this world. And don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. You say, well, I don't like music. You'd be surprised how much it affects your life. Whether you like it or not, whether you realize it's there or not, it's there. And lest Satan should get an advantage of it, we're not ignorant of his devices, 2 Corinthians 12 says. He does control our mindset today. Our music, the music in our world controls the way we think, the way we see things. And the devil is the one that's in control of all that. Some years ago, well, long before I was saved, I never did care for the guy. He didn't write the song, but he made the song popular. I hesitate to read it because some of you are going to start humming it for me later. But you've probably heard it. But listen to this. And you tell me who this is describing. I've been alive forever. Well, that's his pride. He thinks he doesn't realize he was a created being. I wrote the very first song. I put the words and the melodies together. I am music. And I write the songs. I write the songs that make the whole world sing. I write the songs of love and special things. I write the songs that make the young girls cry. I write the songs. I write the songs. My home lies deep within you. And I've got my own place in your soul. Now when I look out through your eyes, I'm young again, even though I'm very old. Oh, my music makes you dance and gives your spirit to take a chance. And I write some rock and roll so you can move. My music fills your heart. Well, that's a real fine place to start. It's for me. It's for you. It's from you. It's from me. It's a worldwide symphony. I am music, and I write the songs. That's one of the most detailed descriptions the world's ever given to us of the devil himself. That was a pop song when I was a teenager. That was one of the top songs sung by this creepy-looking guy. But I couldn't get over his creepiness, so I didn't like his music. But thank the Lord for that. But that's music today. That's the world's music. And by the way, God's people have a song. Amen? God's people ought to have a song. Now think of this. God created man to fellowship with him. That was our purpose in creation. Of course, all of creation was designed to glorify God, but God put man over everything, and God made all of creation with this purpose to serve man and for man to oversee. And God's focus on man was designed. He wants us to fellowship with him. And when God saved us, you think of this. God saved us for another purpose. When you really think about this, God saved us also to reintroduce music into heaven. I'm going to show you why I say that in a little bit. God saved us and fellowships with us to reintroduce music was cast out of heaven. That's why the angels don't sing. But we're going to see us sing. And God, right here on this earth today, we're to sing the praises of God. And of course, as we sing, let me just sing some things about the songs that God gives us. First of all, they're different than the world's songs. They're not focused around I will do this. I can do this. I want this. And no, that's not that. And some so-called Christian songs are more focused like world songs than God's song. They're not I-centered. Their focus and their attention is upon the Lord God, Jehovah, in heaven, and not upon I. There's difference in the words and in the musical construction of the style of that music is far different than anything the world. And I'm not taking a lesson on music here, but it's very obvious. Just on the surface, you can't help but to see the difference between God's music and the devil's music and the God of this world. But the songs of God's people are far different than the worldly song. And secondly, I want you to see this. The songs that God has for us are first and foremost victory songs. The first song recorded in the Bible. I've asked this before. Some of you might know. You might at least know the context, if not the chapter. You know the book. The first song recorded in the Bible was where? What? I'm deaf. I don't hear much today. Exodus 15. When God led the Israelites out of Egypt and across the Red Sea, and God closed up the Red Sea and delivered them, and God gave Moses, and Moses wrote down and sang a song of victory. That's the first song recorded in the Bible. And the next one also was given to Moses, and where is it found? And let me say this about that song. Before we get that song's still going to be it's still singing in heaven. Brother Rex is singing that same song in heaven right now. In Revelation 15, in verse number 3, it says, "And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God." He started to quote the psalm that Moses gave back in Exodus. They're singing that same song in heaven. It's a song of victory. Maybe the next verse is victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. That wasn't in the song of Moses, but that's the idea that they're songs of victory. And then there are songs of testimony. That's the next song I want to get to, the song of Moses. Song of victory. They're different than the world. They're songs of victory. They're songs of testimony. Songs of teaching the Word of God. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching." I'm looking at the wrong verse. I'm getting two verses mixed up. "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord." The Word of God is taught through singing. The second song that you read given to Moses in Deuteronomy chapter number 31, God says, "Moses, I want you to write this in a song. And I want you to sing this song to the Israelites. And I want them to join you in singing." And Deuteronomy chapter number 31 refers to not only God's deliverance of the Israelites, but then their rebellion against God and their failure to completely obey God. And God says, "I want you to write a song about that to be a lesson to you and your children of what happens when a child of God rebels against me." That song's used to teach. He says, "Now therefore write this song in Deuteronomy 31 and teach it to the children of Israel to put in their mouths. The song may be a witness for me." It told of God's deliverance and protection despite Israel's rebellion. The songs of God are songs of victory. They're songs of testimony. They're different than the world. And fourthly, they're songs that sing about the new life. Psalm 40, you could turn to many places in the book of Psalms. "He's put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto a God, and many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord." And then he gives, I love this one. We spend a lot of time talking to the Lord and singing these songs in the night. Thank God he gives us songs in the night. Even in the darkest moments in our life, God gives us a song in the night. Psalm 77 talks about that. Job 35 talks about that. We can rejoice in the worst of circumstances. Psalm 137 says the Israelites have gone into the captivity of Babylon and they have quit singing. They've hung up their harps. They're no longer singing. God says, "No, keep singing unto the Lord. I'll give you a song in the night." There's still something to sing about if you know the Lord is your Savior. You know the victory is going to come. You know that God's teaching you lessons and you can learn from those lessons. You keep singing unto the Lord. Keep lifting Him up in song. That's music for today. And then finally, I want to look at this. We see music and the creation of music. And then music for today, the devil's music and God's music. And then thirdly, heaven's music in heaven and in heavenly places that Ephesians talks about. I'm going to say a couple of things here. First of all, God loves music. God loves music. He created Lucifer as an angelic being to sing, to fill heaven, and filled all of God's creation with music. There's no question God loves music. God loves to hear His people sing. In fact, when you read through the Bible, you find out that God established and gave special gifts to certain families within the priesthood, the children of Asaph for generations. They were a special order of the Levitical priesthood of the Old Testament, whose sole duty and responsibility was to play and to sing, play music, build and play musical instruments and sing to the glory of God. God loves music. God loves His house filled with music. He included in the Old Testament a book of music. We call it the Book of Psalms. And there are many psalms outside of the Book of Psalms. God loves music. There are two things that I notice that God delights in concerning His people above everything else. One of them is in Psalm 133, which is, if you read that section of Psalms, there are songs of degrees. There are songs that the children of Israel sang as they walked up the steps of the temple to offer their sacrifices. There are songs that are sung as we come into the presence of God. Psalm 133 says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." There's nothing that grieves God more than when God's people start fussing and not getting along with each other. Nothing that glorifies God, that pleases God more than to see His children walking together in perfect harmony with Him. And I know if you're not in harmony, it's always the other person's fault. No, it's always my fault. Amen? And if we ever get used to saying that, we can begin to walk in harmony instead of blaming everybody else for our disgruntled spirit. But then the other thing that God delights in, that is the praises of His people. The singing unto Him. Psalm 100, an entire psalm. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves." What a great psalm that is. God delights when we come into His presence with nothing between my brother and I and nothing between my God. And we're singing praises of thanksgiving unto Him. God loves music. God loves to hear His people sing. In fact, the first evidence of the fullness of the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 18 says to be filled with the Spirit. And verse number 19 gives the first evidence of that Spirit, not speaking in some unknown tongue, not doing a backflip across the front of the altar, not gibbering something, but speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. God loves to hear His people. Hey, maybe you can only make a joyful noise, but God loves to hear that joyful noise. Amen? To Him, that's singing. Maybe we might tell you to tone it down a little bit, but God loves to hear that. Maybe more than others do. But God loves to hear His people. God's people are singing people. And then I notice this, music in heaven. God loves to hear His people here on this earth singing. All of creation will one day join and singing. All of creation will one day join. Of course, Lucifer's gone, but God still loves music. The curse of death affected all of God's creation. When Adam and Eve sinned, it affected everything that God created. In Romans chapter number 8, we read how all of creation, in fact, the words used are groaning and travailing. The music that we hear in creation today is just groaning. They're longing for the day when they can sing aloud again. They're waiting for the redemption of God's people when God destroys this earth and creates a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And then all of heaven and all of creation is going to join together. 1 Chronicles 16 says, "Sing unto the Lord, all ye earth. Declare His glory among the heathen. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. And let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. And let men say among nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out in the presence of the Lord, because He cometh to judge." He's not talking about people singing. Of course, people are going to sing, but we're going to join with the song, with the trees, with the mountains and the rocks and the hills. All of them, all of God's creation will one day unite together in singing to the glory of God. What a beautiful thing. What a wonderful thought. God loves music, and God delights in the singing of God's people. And what will we be singing Let's look at the psalm that we're going to sing in Revelation chapter number 5. Oh, look at this. I want you to see something in closing. We're going to close here in Revelation, all right? That's getting toward the end. Revelation chapter number 5. What are we going to be singing? We talked about this verse a few weeks ago, and really in studying these verses, what got me thinking and realizing that God saved us to reintroduce singing into heaven. Look at what it says in Revelation chapter number 5. And again, we won't take time to study the context. We did that a couple of weeks ago. Look at the context of this chapter. In verse number 8, it says, "And when he had taken the book of the four beasts and the 24 elders," that's a picture of all those that have been redeemed in the Old Testament, New Testament times, "fall down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and of people. And Thou hast made us," now this is the 24 elders singing, "Thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld in the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000,000, saying," notice this, they're saying, the angels are saying, while the saints are singing, the angels are saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, but such as are in the sea, all of them get heard, I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever. You see this choir, this heavenly choir, the saints of God, the saved of all the ages, singing praises unto God. And the angels are alongside of them singing. Amen. Saying, that's right, hallelujah, glory. But they're not singing with us. And then if you jump ahead to Revelation chapter number 8, I want you to see something here. This is something that kind of threw me off. I was just look at this, and then we're going to jump to the end of the book of Revelation to see that we're still singing the same thing at the end of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 8, notice there's a pause in heaven's singing. All of heaven is silent. In Revelation chapter 8, verse number 1, "When he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." I heard a preacher say, of course a preacher said, it's got to be true. This means there's no women in heaven. Ooh, my wife's downstairs, so I can say that right now without confidence. There was silence in heaven for an hour. "And I saw seven angels which stood up before the throne, and were given to them seven trumpets." Now the angels are going to blow the trumpets, but they're not playing music with those trumpets. Those trumpets are made for a battle cry. They're made to pronounce the judgment of God. All of heaven stood silent for a moment. And in the book of Revelation, we can see Satan's song that once sang better than any created being. Those songs during the book of throughout the book of Revelation, they turn to cries of death and screams of torment. Jesus talked about the weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's the devil's song. And hell was created for Satan and all those, and he's bringing with him all those who reject salvation. Hell wasn't created for man. It was created for Satan. And those that reject salvation are willingly following Satan to the lake of fire, to eternity without God, where there's going to be screaming and wailing and no singing there, but only screaming and screeching and torments and suffering. But when we get to Revelation chapter number 21, we see our song continues. What are we going to be singing in heaven? It's going to be silence for a few moments when God looks down and pours out His wrath, and the trumpet of judgment sounds, which isn't a song. Now, I can blow in a trumpet, but I can't make no music with a trumpet. Huh? These angels are going to blow in the trumpet, but they ain't going to play no songs in the trumpet. But now, in verse number 1 of chapter number 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. All memories of sin and judgment are gone now, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for those things are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. God is on his throne, and we that are the saints of God are singing and glorifying God through all eternity. We get to heaven and reintroduce singing around the throne of God. What a wonderful thought that is. In verse number 8, God again throws in one more reminder. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers and idolaters and liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. One day we're going to be around the throne of God singing his praises for all eternity. We're done with the world's music. In fact, when we get saved, we're going to be done with the world's music and walk with him and rejoice in the new song that he's given to us. Thank God for the salvation that we have in Christ. He's given us something to sing about. He's given us a hope that this world can't give us. You know, some of the silly songs that the world sings. You look at them and sometimes you're in a place where they're playing that music and some of it might be pretty music, but there's no hope in that music. And even the way those songs end, do you ever notice this about the world songs? They never have an ending. They just kind of fade away. There's never no distinct end in their song. And there's never really any lasting fulfillment, but God's song will go on for eternity also. And thank God that we're a new creation in Jesus Christ, and we're going to sing forever the same song that Moses sang back in Exodus. The song of victory, the song of triumph, the song of worship and praise and adoration to God that this world knows nothing about. Thank God for the hope of heaven. I wonder what the cowboy quartet's going to sound like in heaven. They got a member up there now, and the rest will join someday. And thank God for the hope. And thank God he's going to give us a new voice when we get there, too, with our new body. That'll be part of our glorified body. Amen? And thank God for the hope that's ours in Christ. I'm going to ask you to stand.